الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Imam al-Bukhari as well as Al-Imam Muslim rahimahumullah have collected and reported the hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out a group of his companions in order to canvass and to search on the outskirts of Medina to make sure that the enemy or no threat was going to come and harm the Muslims, which is the dalil that Rasulullah, he is the Imam of the Mutawakkilin, he has a tawakkul on Allah, but still he has to tie his camel. He sent people out to make sure that there's nothing that's going to harm the Muslims. So those individuals from the companions, when they were on the outskirts of Medina making sure that everything was okay, they noticed that there was a man who was a well-known enemy of Al-Islam. His name was Thumama ibn Uthal. He hated Islam and he hated the Muslims. So the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam overcame him and they tied him up and they brought him to Medina, and then they brought him into the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they tied him up to one of the pillars inside of the masjid. They went to the home of Rasulullah, to Hujurat sallallahu wasallamu alayhi, and they told him, "Ya Rasulullah, we have caught Thumama ibn Uthal." The Prophet came out to Thumama and he found him in that condition, being tied up to the pillar of the masjid. So he said to him, "Ya Thumama, ماذا عندك?" Thumama, what's your situation? What do you have to say? Killing my companions, causing me all kind of problems. What do you have to say for yourself? Thumama said, "Ya Muhammad, عندي خير. إن تقتلني تقتل بعدم. وإن تنعم تنعم على الشاكر. وإن كنت تريد المال فسل ما شئت." He called him, he wasn't a Muslim, he said, "Ya Muhammad, I have only good. If you kill me, you kill a person whose blood is important. I'm the Amir of my people. And if you let me go, I will be thankful. And if you want to ransom me, you want money, ask for any price, any ransom, I'll give it to you." Rasulullah, without saying another word, he left them tied to the pillar and he went. He left him there all day for that day. The next day Rasulullah came back to the masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said the same thing. "Ya Thumama, ماذا عندك?" "Hey Thumama, what's your situation? What do you have to say for yourself, Ya Thumama?" Thumama said, "قلت كما قلت بالأمس." "I said as I said yesterday, if you kill me, you kill a person who's important. And if you let me go, I will be thankful and appreciative. And if you want to ransom me, I give you all the money that you want." Rasulullah left him in that state and he went. Left him all day in the masjid again. He came to him the third day, Ikhwani, and he said to him the same thing. "Ya Thumama, ماذا عندك?" "Hey Thumama, what's your situation?" Thumama said, "Just as I mentioned the two previous days, Ya Muhammad, if you kill me, you kill a person whose blood is important. If you let me go, I'll be thankful. If you want money to ransom me, ask for whatever you want. I'll give you as much money you want." Rasulullah said to his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Utluqu Thumama." Let him go. Thumama, he got up. He walked out of the masjid. He went to a place not far from the masjid. He made a ghusl on his own. He came back to the masjid and he said, "Ya Muhammad, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." He said, "Ya Muhammad, I bear witness there's no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. After embracing Islam, the next thing he said was, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, when my brothers caught me, when your companions who you sent out caught me, and he described them as his brothers. When my brothers caught me, I was on my way to perform the Umrah, a good deed. I had decided to make Umrah as a non-Muslim, because at that time, the Quraysh, the Kufar, the Arab, the Mushrikeen, they still used to make Umrah, and they used to make Hajj, even though they were Kufar. So before I became a Muslim, I was on my way to make Umrah, and then my brothers caught me. Should I continue the Umrah? Rasulullah said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yes, continue the Umrah. If you were going to do good prior to Al-Islam, continue to do good. Accepting Al-Islam doesn't mean now you have to become an evil person. Even more so, you have to do good. So Thumama radiallahu anhu went to Mecca. When he went to Mecca, the people of Mecca saw that Thumama was dressing differently, acting differently, making the tawaf and the umrah differently. Thumama was well known to the people of Mecca. He did business with the people of Mecca. So the people of Mecca said to Thumama, Ya Thumama, as-sabauta? Ya Thumama, did you change your religion? Sabauta? That's a term, a derogatory term, Quraysh used to use against the people who embraced Islam. And it means the one who left the religion of his father. A sabauta? You a sabi. It's a derogatory term. You a wahhabi. It's a derogatory term. Thumama said, La wallahi. ولكني أسلمت مع محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ووالله لا يأتيكم من اليمامة حضة حنطة حتى يأذن رسول الله فيها. He said, والله, I didn't become a Sabi, I didn't change my religion, but I embraced Al-Islam with Muhammad, the Rasul of Allah, and I swear by Allah, the grain and the food that we used to send you people from my place in Yamama, wallahi, I'm not going to send you people a single pebble. I won't send you a single grain unless Rasulullah said it was okay and he gave permission. This is the hadith of today's khutbah. In the story of Thumama radiallahu anhu, we see that there was a time in Al-Islam when Allah Azza wa Jal allowed the kuffar to come to the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca and the Masjid al-Haram in Medina. And then in the ninth year after the Hijrah, Allah revealed Surah At-Tawbah, one of the last surahs revealed in the Quran. And in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Azza wa Jal told us the reality of the mushrikeen, the reality of every human being who makes shirk, no matter what that shirk is. Allah said, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إنما المشركون النجس فلا يقرب المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله إن شاء إن الله عليم حكيم. Oh, you believe, verily the mushrikeen are najis, they're dirty, they're nasty. Do not let them come to the Masjid al-Haram after this year. And if you're afraid of poverty, because when they come, they bring money and commerce. If you're afraid of poverty, Allah is going to enrich you if He wishes. Verily, Allah is Alim and He is Hakim. The one who makes shirk is najis. As it relates to the kuffar who have no deen, they are najis because they don't know how to clean themselves. They don't know about the stinja. They don't know about it. So they have that najasa. But worse than that is the najasa of kufr and shirk. After that ayat was revealed, Allah Ta'ala, His Prophet, sent Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he went throughout the Muslim world, Mecca, Medina, everywhere, and he told the people, this is the last year that the mushrikeen can make hajj or umrah. And no one can make umrah and make tawaf around the Kaaba naked. So they prepared them. Keep your contract, Muhammad. Let them know, because if you try to change everything in one day, it's going to be a fitna. You have to give people time to change. So Al-Islam told them, this is the last year, you kuffar, that you can make hajj. After this year, that's it. But while you're making Hajj this year, no one can make Tawaf naked as they used to do. So Ikhwani, prior to this ayah coming down, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to allow the non-Muslims into the Masjid of Haram in Mecca. It was easy for him to get a house that would be exclusively and specifically for the Asara, the prisoners of war. It was easy for him, but he chose not to do that. He chose to leave those prisoners of war in the Masjid al-Haram. And from that is hikmah. From the hikmah is that Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu anhu, he was from the intelligent people of the Arabs. He was from the people who he was a leader of his people. So when he was tied up in the masjid all day long for 3 days, he saw how the companions dealt with Rasulullah. He saw how the companions listened to Rasulullah. He saw how they honored the sunnah. So Mama knew that the practice in the ways of the Arab is that the man would wear a gold watch or a gold piece of jewelry. But he saw that the companions were not wearing any gold. He knew that in Jahiliyyah, the Arabs would wear clothes below their ankle bones. But all of these Muslims were wearing clothes above their ankles. There were some tribes, even though they were the minority, they would cut their beards. And he knew that. But amongst the companions were those who no one cut his beard. He saw things in the companions different and in contrast to what he knew the Arabs were upon. And he said to himself, this is a special thing. Because there's no single human being that the Arab will listen to him like this. Even the women in Jahiliyyah. Maybe you'll say, the man, he's with Rasulullah, he knows Rasulullah, but even the women he saw, they were dressing a particular way. So not only did the men take him as an example, but the women took him as an example. So Mama saw that. He saw how the Mu'ezzin was a black man, Bilal radiallahu anhu. And he made the adhan at Fajr time. Hayyal al-salah, hayyal al-falah. And the people came to the masjid. The majority of the men in the neighborhood came. The Arabs used to make poetry about how he would sleep so deep that nothing would wake him up. But here you have these people coming to the masjid for salah. What is it in the Arabs? What is it about this man that will cause all these people to give up sleep to come to the masjid? Something is going on, Thumama said. During the salat, ikhwan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be sure to insist that you straighten up the lines before the prayer. And he said, if you don't straighten up the lines, your hearts will be divided. So what would he do? He would send Bilal ibn Abi Rabah down that row, and Umar radiallahu anhu down that row. And he would wait until Bilal and Umar came back and said, they're straight. Bilal would walk down the line, and he would see an Arab from Quraysh in the line. He would see an important person, Amr ibn al-As, Abu Bakr, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, too far up, too far back, and Bilal the ex-slave would hit him and say, move up, move back. And that Qurayshi would not get upset with him. So Thumama saw the brotherhood of al-Islam. Thumama saw Ikhwan being an Arab, that his people were Ummiyun. Most of them could not read and write. But when he was tied up in the masjid, he saw over there was a halaqa of all people learning how to read the Quran. Over there were a group of people learning the fiqh of al-Islam. Over there were a group of young men learning the religion of al-Islam. He saw that. He said, what is this that now the Arabs are paying attention to reading and writing and learning? So on its own, when Rasulullah let him go, he came back and he said, Ya Muhammad, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And then after that he began to call him Rasulullah after accepting the religion of al-Islam. So the first issue, Ikhwani, is in this masjid, we have people who are looking at us. Non-Muslims, new Muslims, people who have come trying to learn their religion, and they're looking at us. So someone from the religion will tell him, from this masjid, you have to do this or you have to do that. And then he looks at you, and you may know or you may not know about that thing. But then that person thinks what you're doing is a mixed signal. So he doesn't know who to listen to and who to obey. The person comes to this masjid, and he doesn't realize, if you see something, if you hear something, if you witness something that you don't like, there's a proper way and an improper way of dealing with that problem. If you get up and you shout, and we start fighting each other, the new Muslim will say, what is this? Wallahi, the people in the church don't behave like this. The one who Allah has blessed him to leave one of the other local masjids, to come to a masjid where they're going to hear, Allah said this, Rasulullah said that, and the ulama said this. That man comes to this masjid and he sees that we're arguing, we're fighting, we're acting the same way the other people are acting. He says, I should have remained in my masjid because at least my family is over there and I'm getting grief for coming here. So if you know the religion, you will realize that you have a responsibility as it relates to practicing this religion. And just a small example. For the last 6 or 7 months, we've been telling you that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just an example, la yusalliyanna ahadukum illa ila sutra. No one should pray except to a sutra. Something that you put in front of yourself to prevent the jinn or the human being from walking in front of you. Still, you'll find the one in the middle of the masjid praying as he likes. So, the new Muslim, you say to him, you have to pray with a sutra. That's what Allah and His Messenger wants from you. He says, okay, but he looks at you in the middle of the floor, and he says, what is this? What is this? Do I have to? Do I not have to? Why are they so confused? So the people are looking at every single person here. In addition to that, Ikhwan, from what we have to mention is, our masjid has to be a masjid and which is different from the other places, and that the light of al-Islam and the nur of knowledge has to come from the masjid, like what Sumama saw. Allah and His Messenger said, not spooky stories and the pen was floating and the hand came out of the ground and the pigeons came from the sky and sat on the shoulders and lo and behold they disappeared. What deen is that? He says, I should have remained as a kafir because this is khurafat. This is kufr. This is shirk. People are watching you. People are looking at us. From this hadith of Thumama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it shows, Ikhwan, a very important issue. The need for the person to change himself immediately once he becomes a Muslim. Right away, Thumama radiallahu anhu, he once embracing al-Islam, started calling Muhammad Rasulullah. First, Muhammad this, Muhammad that. And then as soon as he became a Muslim, Rasulullah. Why? He saw that from the companions. The kuffar, when they saw him making umrah, they said to him, Ya Thumama, Asabauta? Did you change your religion, Thumama? Why did they ask that question? Because he dressed differently. Because he looked differently. Because he behaved differently. So if you become a Muslim, you have to be a person who stands out and distinguished from the kuffar. Does that mean you have to go to work in this kind of fold? La wallahi. Does that mean you can't wear a suit? La wallahi. But when you're seen in public, the people should be able to tell you're not a Sikh. By the way you look and the way you act, some of you have the ability to determine where this man comes from, Pakistan. Where he comes from. Is he Bangladeshi or Indian? Kuffar don't have that ability. And if they don't see it in your behavior and the way you look, he may think that you are Sikh. So you have to change once you become a Muslim right away. And you have to have some sacrifice for this religion. So Thumama radiallahu anhu, Ikhwan, as soon as he became a Muslim, he told those kuffar in Mecca, Wallahi, la ya'tikum min al-yamama habbatu hamta illa an ya'dhina ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fiha. I'm not going to give you one single seed, one grain of what we used to give you,
until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's okay. So he used his influence and his position to do what? For the religion. As you all know, when the Muslim suffers from a catastrophe, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Someone dies, that's what we say. We come from Allah, and to Allah we belong. You become a new Muslim, you realize that. Your life is for Allah, your death is for Allah. If Allah decides that someone is going to die, we come from Allah, to Allah we return. That's our deen. He told Rasulullah to say, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَا وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. Tell them, Muhammad, my salat, my hajj, my sacrifices, my life, my death, all of that is for Allah. All of that is for Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has purchased from the believers their person and their money, and in reward and return, they'll get their Jannah. So your money, akhi, is from Allah, and your money is to Allah. Does that mean that the new Muslim has to come and give us all of his money? Does that mean that I'm the khatib in this masjid, so when the new Muslim, his son gets sick, his daughter gets sick, he has to come and slide me some money? Is that what this is saying? La wallahi. Take care of yourself, pay your bills first and foremost. But don't forget the haqq of Allah. Don't forget to give to the masjid. Don't forget to give to the fuqara and the du'afa. Don't forget to give from your time. Don't forget to come to the masjid to learn. Don't forget the haqq of the neighbor. Don't forget to give advice. Don't forget to help someone. All of that means, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My ears belong to Allah, so I'm not going to listen to ghibah. My heart and my niyyah is for Allah, so I'm not going to be a person who wants to be in position of leadership. My tongue is for Allah, so I have to use it to give da'wah to Allah, to educate, to read the Quran. So the Muslim, he has to make a tabhiyah, sacrifice. You can't be a person who sits back and that's it. No, the Muslim is involved. There is a companion, as Imam al-Bukhari has collected this hadith. The companion, his name is Haritha ibn Suraqa. During the battle of Badr that took place in this month, his mother came to Rasulullah and she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, innaka arafta manzilata Haritha minni fa in yakun في الجنة أصبر واحتسب وإن تكون الأخرى ترى ماذا أصنع. يا رسول الله, you know the position that my son Haritha has with me. You know how much I love him. We go into our home, I pick up my new son Muawiyah. I say to Muawiyah, Ya Uyuni, you are my eyes, boy. Ya Hayati, you are my life, boy. Ya Qalbi, you are my heart. Cut my heart out before you cut my boy. My life, my eye, my life. She said, you know what Haritha is to me. So I came to ask you, Ya Rasulullah, in this jihad of Badr, if you're going, if he's going to go to Jannah, I'll give him to you. If you know that he's going to go to Jannah if he gets killed. But if he's going to go to the hellfire, Ya Rasulullah, what do you think? What? Can I hold them back? Can I not give them to you? Rasulullah said to that lady, Wayhak, woe unto you. Why did he say woe unto her? Wayhak, awalaysa hiya jannatun wahida, bal hiya jannanun kathira, wa huwa fi jannatil firdaus. Woe unto you. Who said that the jannah is only one jannah? No. It is multiple jannas, many jannas. And that boy, Haritha ibn Suraqa, will be in the highest level of Jannah in the Firdaus. The point here is, this woman brought her ayn, her qalb, her hayat, go and fight jihad fi sabilillah. And now we can't get from you 5 pounds. You can't give in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, something to help Allah. Something to help the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So once the person becomes a Muslim, he has to become a person like Thumama. He uses his prestige. He uses his position. He uses his job. He uses his money. He uses his skills. He knows about computers. He uses that. Fi sabilillah azza wa jal. Why? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's the deen of al-Islam. And Thumama showed us that clearly, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Also, ikhwani, from this hadith is something that we already mentioned before, and we're going to repeat it because it is important. The hadith shows for those people who embraced Islam newly and other than them. Al-Ihsan, being nice and kind to people who have done you wrong, it will change hatred to love. In another narration of this hadith, so Imamah said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, there was not a faith that I hated more than your faith. And there was not a deen that I hated more than your deen. And there was not a city that I hated more than your city. Now, your faith is the most beloved faith to me. Your deen is the most beloved deen to me. Your city of Medina is the most beloved city to me. Why? Because Thumama deserved to be killed. Thumama was making problems for the Muslims. Look what he said. That's how he felt about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah gave him ihsan. Left him and then let him go without any muqabil, without anything. Just let him go. And what did it do? It made Thumama change his position. So those people who have done wrong to us and you have problems with them, don't wait for them to come to make peace. You make peace yourself. You make peace with ihsan. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, ifsa billati hiya ahsan. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ أَدَّاوَى كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٌ. If Allah said, push back what they give you, push it back with what is best. Not evil with evil. When they give it to you, push it back بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنٌ with what is best. And if there is someone who you have enmity with, a problem with, if you do that, he will become like your bosom buddy. And no one will be able to do that except those who have sabr. And no one will be able to do that except the one who has had a tremendous portion. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, it is not enough to rely on where you live, where you come from, what your name is. You have a responsibility to this deen. People come here and they're looking at us, new Muslims, and they have a good opinion about us. Don't be a person who, because you're not paying attention, you send the wrong messages. And don't be worse than that. There is an individual who, no matter what, he's going to be a person of drama, sahibu drama. She's a drama queen and he's a drama king, no matter what. Some of our kids are like that. There's that kid who always gets in trouble. You know, he started it. It's always like that. Some people are like that. If it's good, he makes problems. If it's not good, he makes problems. Those people, sometimes we make dua for them. You don't want to be one of those individuals. You want to be a person who's going to bring your piece of the puzzle to the table, and your piece of the puzzle, only Allah knows what it is. Don't be a person who makes the religion fall back. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إخوان, there are many things that we can mention here today. The last point that we want to make very quickly due to the time from the hadith, إخوان, is that we understand the importance of being balanced in our religion and all of your affairs. Be from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. In the balance. Not too far to the right, not too far to the left. Don't give all of your money. Don't refuse to give any of your money. This hadith shows us this message of being balanced as it relates to our love. As it relates to our love. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, أحبب حبيبك كونا ما عسى أن يكون بغيدك يوما ما وبغد بغيدك كونا ما عَسَنْ يَكُونْ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمٍ مَا. Pay attention here, Juan. Pay attention here. Love the person who you love moderately. Don't go overboard. Love that person moderately. Your wife, your husband, your father, your people, Love your imam, your madhab, your jama'ah. Love people moderately. Because the day may come when that beloved person becomes your enemy. And hate the people you hate moderately. Don't go overboard. Because the day may come when he becomes your habib. Love a man to the point where if you see him doing wrong, you're not going to make excuses. You're going to give advice. You're going to reject what he's doing. Hate a man to the point where if you see the haqqas from him, you're still going to embrace it. Have to be balanced. Thumama radiallahu anhu. He showed us this. He hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a tremendous hate. But al-Islam alhamdulillah went into his heart and it changed that hate. Don't be a person who goes overboard. Now that someone just came in, I have to make this last point. We have someone who is going to embrace al-Islam today. I don't know if the lady came, and I don't know what happened to the other two people. Maybe they're upstairs, I don't know. So this khutbah was for those people who either you accepted al-Islam recently or you're going to accept al-Islam as the man is going to do after the salat, insha'Allah ta'ala. Brothers, do not be an impediment on the way of the da'wah. In this masjid, we have people who speak multiple languages. We have to take care of the people who speak Urdu, who speak Mirpuri, who speak the languages that you know. And we also have to take care of the people who don't know those languages. So when we give classes, we have to have classes for them, and we have to have classes for the people who speak the other languages. But the classes for the people who speak Urdu and the other languages, will you come to the class? Will you attend the class to learn your deen? If you choose not to attend the class, then don't be a person who says, everything has to be in my language, my language, my language. No, we are brothers in the religion, and we have to help everybody. In this city, there are kuffar who need to know the message of al-Islam. What are we doing about that? No, it's my language, it's my culture, it's my deen. What is that? So now that these people embrace the religion, we need your help and your support to facilitate knowledge for them, classes for them, books for them. Sahal ibn Usad, he said in the authentic hadith, لِيَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُنْ لَكَ حُمْرٌ نَعَمٌ. For Allah to guide one person with you is better for you than the red camel. If Allah, because of you, guided one person to this religion, to the haq, that is better for you than the most expensive car you can think of, if you gave it in sadaqah, or if you had it. So be a person who's trying to give dawah, not a person who's trying to take the people off of the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to make us an ummah who can think outside of the box. An ummah that can think outside of the 6 or 7 or 8 streets that are in this area. We need to develop for ourselves a program of how we move into the future, inshallah, for ourselves and our children. The time for sitting back without a program should be over. This is the time that the Muslims get in the race. Get in the race of al-Islam. And what is the race of al-Islam? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah wrote perfection upon everything. We have to be perfect people, perfect citizens, in that we give our piece of the puzzle. So without any further ado, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal with his Ism al-Azam to give his tawfiq to the members of this community, the men and the women, and that he accepts from us all of our ibadat that we put during the month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us an example, like the example that Thumama ibn Uthal saw radiallahu anhu in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask him that he makes the islah between those from amongst us who have issues and who have problems. Those people who, during the month of Ramadan, they're not going to let it go out without making islah with his brother. Inna fasad that al-bayn hiya al-haliqa. لا أقول حالقة تحلق شعر ولكن حالقة تحلق الدين. The حالقة that will cut the deen, not the hair.